You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. My name is Janine Bitson.
And I'm Brad Gray.
And we had a wonderful first hour that was full of hope.
Yes.
I mean, the dark crosses that people have had in their lives, but then the hope that can be radiated.
Yes.
and help them overcome, you know, these struggles. And so it was a definitely first hour of hearing the struggles, but also seeing how we can overcome them.
And how Jesus broke into that, right?
Yeah. And so now, this is a call to action. This next half hour, we're going to be visiting Jason Atkins from the Minnesota Catholic Conference, as well as Michael Pauly from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. And important things going on here, things that are dim and don't bring hope, but Jason and Michael are, by bringing it to our attention and in our listening area. So we really hope you stay tuned to hear about what's going on in these two wonderful states and how you can, you know, be active in knowing about these issues.
Right. So, yes, so we are so grateful now to welcome you. Welcome, Jason Atkins. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Yes. And we want to thank you, first of all, for the important work that you are doing with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, with really trying to be the voice of the church in the midst of the public square. So important.
Well, it's really exciting work, and you get to be a different type of missionary, and you get to bring the church's voice, and it's sort of like proto-evangelization. You know, we're not going into the Capitol beating people over the head with a catechism, but we are saying, look at these truths that emanate from gospel values, and these truths uphold human dignity, they promote the common good, and that we hope by pointing to those truths of Catholic social teaching, it ultimately points back to the author of those truths, our Lord Jesus Christ. So really a great and unique type of mission field to be working in. Pope Francis calls us to go to the peripheries, and certainly the political environment and the public arena is a missionary field, to be sure, on the existential peripheries of our society. So it's great work, it's important work, and it's rewarding work, but it's not just the calling of the professional lobbyists such as me. It's everyone is called to be a faithful citizen. We all have a right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We have a constitutional right to be lobbyists, and so all of us should be talking to our elected officials about important legislation.
Oh, amen, Jason, and thank you, thank you. So the House voted on a bill to legalize surrogacy in Minnesota on Monday, April 29th. Can you just tell us what surrogacy is and why the church is against it?
Sure, for sure. So surrogacy involves an agreement between an intended parent or intended parents to work with a woman who has been impregnated either naturally or inseminated, or there's implantation, IVF, an IVF process, an embryo transfer. So using assisted reproduction to carry a child to term, and then when that agreement is done is to terminate her parental rights and then turn that child over to a person, an intended parent, or intended parents. There are really no laws in Minnesota around surrogacy. And so we've been debating this and sort of been in a stalemate for 25 years with surrogacy proponents, who include fertility clinics, brokers, lawyers, pharmaceutical companies, who are pushing for this because it's a very lucrative industry, sometimes going into the six figures to do a surrogacy arrangement and the IVF process and everything else that's involved with that. But what's important to understand about surrogacy, it's really a global trade in many ways of human beings, involving people and intended parents from countries all over the world, China, Portugal, you name it, to work with surrogates here in Minnesota to carry a child to term and then turn that child over to them, where it may be brought back and will not have the constitutional protections that we as citizens enjoy, and we don't know what else will happen to that child. And certainly we're concerned about things like human trafficking and exploitation of children. Fundamentally, our premise is women are not for rent and children are not for sale. That is what undergirds the Catholic perspective on this. We should not be commodifying human beings. We should not be exploiting socioeconomically disadvantaged women who sometimes feel the need to serve as surrogates. It's precisely for this reason that Pope Francis boldly called for a global ban on the surrogacy practices and the surrogacy trade around the world. And so we've been working on this for 25 years. We're glad to have Pope Francis's very vocal and emphatic support of this in the press, but just most recently in the recent document from the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, Dignitas Infinita. So it's really helpful to have the wind at our back on this issue.
You know, one of the things that, that's related here is that this question of in vitro fertilization is tied into that, and that's been very much swirling in the media for the last couple months with the Alabama decisions. It's such a, I think a lot of people don't understand what the issue is because it's such an emotionally charged conversation where this couple wants to be able to have kids. They can't have kids biologically. How is this not a good thing, right? So what do you, how do you respond to that?
Well, no one has a right to a child. We have the right to the ability if to conceive a child, but no one has a right to a child. You know, we have to be putting children's rights and children's needs above adult wants. And so not every way that technology allows us to create children is a good one or an ethical one, especially when you're talking about severing a child from his or her biological roots and giving that child to another person. We know the deep bonds that are present in the gestation or from the standpoint of the gestational process, the bonds that are established between mother and child, they share DNA. So it's a really deep process that when you rip apart that biological bond has long-term psychological effects. And second of all, the decision in some instances to bring a child into the world intentionally without his or her mother and father, I mean, that's a deep injustice to the child. So whereas adoption, a good alternative, and in Minnesota right now we have 581 children in the foster service waiting to be adopted, whereas adoption attempts to heal a wound, family fragmentation, abandonment, whatever, what surrogacy does is create a wound. It creates a wound for that child, and that division between the mother, the woman who carried the child, and the child itself, who's then given to intended parents, whether or not there's a genetic connection at all. Sometimes there is a genetic connection between the intended parents and the child. Sometimes there's not. So it's a system and a process that provokes many injustices, and infertility is deeply painful. More and more people are struggling with it for various reasons, but we have to think about the ways and the ethical ways in which we bring children into the world and talk about children's needs and rights and not adult desires. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, a key factor in when we make these considerations.
And so many people, Jason, aren't aware even with IVF. They think it's, you know, one try, it's one child. But there's many, many children who are lost in that process as well. It's just, like you say, with the ethical aspect of it. But let's head back to the surrogacy vote, the bill. Did it pass? And what's next for this bill if it did?
So after a lengthy 3.5-hour debate this week in the House, it did pass, and it moved over to the Senate. And we're hopeful that there are enough legislators who find real problem with this legislation. We feel good at this point that there are enough votes against it to stop it this year, but inevitably, as it is every year, it comes back. So people need to be tuned in to pay attention to what's going on. Unfortunately, our media here is not great about covering important issues like this. In fact, one of the only stories I saw was a TV report out of Fargo. Across the river there. So not a lot of coverage as to what's going on. So that's why it's important that Catholics be extra intentional about paying attention to their diocesan newspaper, joining the Catholic Advocacy Network at mncatholic.org, where they can get updated on what's really going on to cut through the fog of the news, which often, rather than inform, does more to obfuscate the news than it does to provide people with the information they need in a democratic society. So, again, I'd recommend that people go to our website, mncatholic.org, sign up for the Catholic Advocacy Network so they can stay updated on what these key issues are and when they can take action, how they can take action, and send a note to their legislator expressing their opposition to the legalization of commercial surrogacy here in Minnesota.
Jason, I'm so glad you said that because I was looking on the state capitol website and, you know, punching in the HF 3567, trying to find the actual verbiage of the bill and stuff. I was spending a half hour and I'm going through all these things and it didn't really give me the printed copy of the bill. You have to really search and search and search. So to go to the Minnesota Catholic Conference website is so vitally important to kind of see what's going on from a Catholic perspective.
Jason, we're coming toward the end here, but I think there's something that we want to point to, and that is, like, as citizens, we do want to be politically and socially engaged and active, but we recognize that as Christians, like, that's not necessarily the most important primary mover in here. So you guys have helped to organize this First Friday Adoration at the Capitol, realizing that the Lord Jesus is the one who is the victor, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, pray and work. I'm a Benedictine oblate, so that dynamic is important. Mm-hmm. We got to start with prayer and then let it inform our work and let those two things motivate us. But yeah, we can't do anything without the Lord, and I think we've had a lot of good successes on a number of issues this session. It's because we've had First Friday Adoration in the governor's historic dining room right in the Capitol. We bring our Lord to the Capitol, and we ask for his blessing upon our legislators, our lawmakers, our state. We ask him to intercede for us on these difficult issues, and I think it makes all the difference. So I would really invite everyone from 9 to 4, Friday, May 3rd, to come to the state Capitol. There's more information on our website about parking, but please spend some time in the Lord, whether it's Fit with the Lord. It's 15 minutes. Pray for our state. Pray for our elected officials that they may do the right thing. It's vitally important as we come up on the last couple weeks of session here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. It is so important, and we're just grateful to have you come on and share with us what's happening so that we can be educated, informed, and to really bring this in our hearts and our prayers too.
Start with mncatholic.org. Again, that's mncatholic.org for all that information where you can take action. Appreciate the time being on today.
Thank you, Jason. We're going to have to take another quick break, but coming up on Real Presence Live right after this, we'll check in with Michael Pauly from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. There's a very important update there coming with regard to legalizing marijuana in the state. So we'll tell you more about that right after this.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo DeFilippis of St. Luke Productions.
The reasonableness of the universe. The more we know of the universe, the more profoundly we are struck by a reason whose ways we can only contemplate with astonishment. In pursuing them, we can see anew that creating intelligence to whom we owe our own reason. Albert Einstein once said that in the laws of nature there is revealed such a superior reason that everything significant which has arisen out of human thought and arrangement is, in comparison with it, the merest empty reflection. We see revealed a powerful reason that holds the universe together, and we are penetrating ever deeper into what is smallest, into the cell, and into the primordial units of life. Physics and biology, and the natural sciences in general, have given us a new and unheard-of creation account with vast new images which let us recognize the face of the Creator and which make us realize once again that at the very beginning and foundation of all being, there is a creating intelligence. The universe is not the product of darkness and unreason. It comes from intelligence, freedom, and from the beauty that is identical with love. Seeing this gives us the courage to keep on living, and it empowers us, comforted thereby, to take upon ourselves the adventure of life.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.